Luke chapter 10. You can write that down. Let's see. Just want you to write them down so we can get to them. Mark chapter 10. Don't go there. Just stay in Luke, but just write down Mark 10. And we'll start off. Just write down Mark 10 and 17. And then we can, let's see. One of our favorites, Matthew 16. You can write that down. Matthew 16. You write 16 and twelve. Actually, the whole chapter 16, but 16 and 12. You're not the church as a whole has been managing morals and manners with no manifestation. Say it again. We've been managing morals and manners. So we got good manners. We know how to sit down and listen in church good. We know how to speak to people. We know how to say thank you, yes sir, yes ma'am, and serve and all the stuff we talk about. We got good manners. And we do our best to manage our morals. We know what's right and what's wrong. We know what to say and what not to say. We know to be mad and not to be mad. But then we'd be slipping up sometimes, being mad when we ain't supposed to be mad. And our whole lives have become about managing morals. So the most thing we learned in church coming up, in the normal, regular church, is rights and wrongs, right? I mean, these are even the first thing you learn growing up as a child, the rights and the wrongs. Don't do this, do this. Don't do this, do this. And that's good. It's not a bad thing. I'm not getting away with that. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. And those things are good to learn. But if you never graduate and mature into an identity of Christ, then managing morals won't be enough for you later on. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. What the law could not do, and that is weak through the flesh. So even the fact of rules, anybody ever broke the rule before? Raise your hand. Anybody ever broke a rule before? Raise your hand. Everybody in here has broken a rule before. But the rule was there. Wasn't it? How you broke it if the rule was so powerful? Come on, y'all watching online. How did you break it if the rule was so powerful? If it was about the rule so much, how is it that you found a loophole in the rule? Somebody called me today because I've been reading the Gospels, and Jesus started hitting them. And Matthew 5 through 7, he just lit them up for like three chapters, but he just is one long talk. And they said at the end they were astonished at his doctrine. They say, because he teaches like somebody with authority. He don't teach like a scribe. But he starts saying, you say you lay with a woman, you commit adultery, but I say if you thought about it. He starts talking about they don't run from evil. If they slap you, turn the other cheek. What? He said, if they sue you for your coat, give them your cloak also. What? No, somebody sue me, we get a lawyer, we fighting back. And somebody asked me, say, well, what? I don't know, pluck your eye out. He started talking about plucking your eye out, your eye offending and all that stuff, right? And she said, well, he ain't really talking about cutting up. I said, no, what he's doing is taking you to another level of living. And he's showing you that what you are trying to accomplish, you cannot accomplish it by the law. The only way to get there is through identity. The only way to get there is to change your being. And from your being, the actions come from there. You do not build your house on your morality, because that'll go quick. How quick? Anybody morals ever went out the window real quick? I know we don't want to say amen right now because we think about all the bad sins. But I like to use it like anybody just had a temper, just got angry. Just flipped out over something. That count too. Right? It's going out the window. Your morality. You've been learning for... Gone. Because you cannot build on this. And so Jesus, he gives almost, and he's going to read it in a minute ago, he gives almost an impossible task for somebody to slap you and you turn the other side. Then you turn around and get the other side. I mean, these tasks to not think about something. Now he was just talking about adultery at the time, but now he's really talking about your mind. So now you say if you did it, it's bad, but I say if you thought about doing it, it's bad. We all lost. Huh? We all in trouble. Oh, yeah. If you slap them, it's bad, but I say if you thought about slapping them, it's just like you did it. We all in trouble. With these minds right here, we all in trouble. But Jesus gives another bar. He sets another bar because he knows there's another level of life on the inside of you. And so not only does he set a bar, but he eliminates loopholes. Because how many of y'all done broke a rule before? Somehow you done found a loophole. So the rule did not keep you in order, did it? Oh. So because a rule and there's a punishment on the other side, it still didn't keep you in order. You took your chance, didn't you? Huh? What the law could not do, and that is weak through the flesh. God sent his son in the same sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned the sin in the flesh. In other words, the way he lived condemned the fact of you missing who you really are. So it's been about managing morals. It's been more about correcting problems and less about making progress and creating what the Father wants to create. Think about it. We putting out fires, right? We just putting out fire. Bring the problems in here. We're gonna fix your problems. That's not what this. We're not here to fix the problems. We're here to make progress for the kingdom, and to keep expanding, fruitful and multiply. To keep expanding the kingdom. So we're managing morals. And this is the way I heard it. Let me say the way I heard it. I heard this. Woke up. He said we're managing morals and manners. But it don't matter if there's no manifestation. And the scripture in Romans says the whole creature, the whole creation, everything around us is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. You talking about sons of God, they're really talking about the manifestation of the Lord through you. So we've been managing them, managing morals. I'm going to show you three places where we've been. Two or three places where we've been as the church. And I could actually show you four. I could actually show you five more, but I'm going to get to the ones I can get to. You're in Luke 10. Luke chapter 10. And this is not a long, it doesn't take long for me to get to this. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Don't read it like you read it before. Just listen to me. Now it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Are y'all with me? Verse 38. Verse 39. Y'all familiar with the story, right? Verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also did what? Come on, at the end of 39, what it says. She had a sister called Mary who did what? And what else? So what was Mary doing? Sitting at whose feet? Okay. And what was she doing? Uh-huh. Verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much. Serve the Lord till the day I die. Y'all know the statement, huh? I'm going to serve the Lord till the day I die. Mm-hmm. She was coming about much serving. Let me find the church right there for a minute. As a whole. We coming about much serving. We coming about serving this person, serving that person, serving these people, serving this group, serving that group. We coming about much. And look at the church. And came to him saying, Lord, you don't care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Make her come help me. We got to get out here and do this work. So I guess Martha thought, just like we think we'd be screaming to the sky, asking, praying for stuff. I guess she thought we were going to get another answer. A lot of times we think we'll get another answer because you're praying for something, and then you'd be like, Lord, do this. And he'd be like, you do it. You was waiting for another answer, though. You wait for him to say, yes, my child, I will move that out the way for you. That's not what he's going to say. He's going to say, you do it. Lord, what you think about it? He's going to say, what you think? I guess Martha was waiting for another answer, right? And Jesus answered. He answered her. And he said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Sound like behavior modification to me. Sound like chasing morals to me. Sound like a sin message to me. Sound like you're trying to fix all the sins. How you going to fix all of them? Come on, y'all know what I mean? How you going to, what you call sins, these actions, how you going to fix all of them? Then we talking about even if you think about them. Oh, we in trouble. Mother, you coming about, you're careful and troubled about many things, many things. You careful and troubled about a whole bunch of stuff. What's that first line of verse 42? Say it again. Say it again. Who's talking right there? That's Jesus? Is it red in there? So we know that's Jesus talking, right? So we know when Jesus talks, we need to listen, right? And if Jesus stamps something home and gives his approval to something, then can't nobody say nothing different, right? Right? Because Jesus is the man, right? Like he's the epitome of God in the flesh, right? So when Jesus says something, I just want to make sure we're agreeing on it. When Jesus says something, can't nobody say nothing different, right? So if Jesus said only one thing is needful, can't nobody really give me no list, can they? Because if Jesus said, what did he say in that first line? Say it, come on. How many things?
One.
Come on, how many things are needful?
One.
Come on, say one thing is needful.
One.
Say it again, one thing is needful.
Thing.
Come on, say it again, one thing is needful. Say it again, one thing is needful.
Thing.
If he told me that one thing is needful, what are all these other things that we're trying to get together? Who said it? Let's make it clear. So we know what we're talking about. This is Jesus that we're talking about, right? And then Jesus makes this statement and he said, Martha, Martha, you're careful. We learn how to be careful in church. They tell us to be nice little careful Christians. Watch what you say. Abstain from the appearance of it. Right? Like we just, all this stuff. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Be careful what you're doing. You know, abstain from the appearance of evil. Jesus didn't say that. Right? I know he ain't say it because they say he was eating with the publicans and sinners. It's another type of Jesus people ain't ready for. Right? This is Jesus talking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's still him talking, right? And what did he say? But what? But one thing. But one, how many?
One.
Nah, it'd be great. Wouldn't it be easy to master one thing? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Like if I could just, watch this. If I just tell you, listen, if you can master this one thing, you ain't got to worry about nothing else. That's it. You master one thing. All right, you can make one check for the rest of your life. Like somebody give you one check that you don't have to work no more, wouldn't it be? You take it, wouldn't you? Come on, it had to be a pretty big check, right? Hey, but everybody got their number in their head, but I'm going to get this one check. You know you ain't going to pass it up. Nah, I like going to the job. No, you don't. Somebody say you'll get that one check. You good. Huh? One thing to fix everything. You take that one, huh? You take the one over the many, right? You take 300 something laws that you're trying to chase and fix. Thou shalt not do everything you can't do. They were doing laws to fix other laws to fix the law. Like the amendments. And it seems like as soon as you get this one right over here, this will mess up. As soon as you get this right over here, you get this over here. And so your whole life is like this. Now you're not walking, you're not moving forward. You're just playing with the morals. All that. Okay. How many things needful?
One.
How many things needful?
One.
Say one thing is needful.
One thing.
Come on, say it. One thing is needful.
One thing.
Come on, say it. One thing is needful. Who does Jesus said that, right? I can't leave him a minute. I gotta make sure you know when you leave here how many things you really need. Well, no, I need the anointing. And then I need the gifts. And I need the fruits. And I need to understand the difference between grace and mercy. And understand the difference between praise and worship. You know, two different things now. And I got to understand how many things you need. And all that stuff come from that. How many things you need? You sure? Prove it to me. Who said that?
Jesus.
Nuh-uh, that Paul. Moses? Who? The Christ? Like the him?
Yes.
How many he said you need?
One.
Wow. Well, that shut me up for all my lists. Right? So if how many things needful?
One.
Then I need to be finding out what that. And one thing he said, that first line, say it again. Come on, say it. So that means you only need one thing. I'm trying to say it in all kinds of different ways so it's sticking in your mind. You only need one thing. I done broke the thing off. You only need one thing. Huh? And then? And Mary has what? Oh. He said Mary chose a good part. He said that good part. So Mary had to choose it. Huh? And then what's the last line? So it can't be taken. We're talking about your identity. So it can't be taken. So here we go. How many things we need? And then on the other side of it, we see it can't be taken. But in the middle, somebody got to do something. What they got to do? Choose the one. Did you hear the statement? Y'all hear the statement I said, huh? Choose the one. Who the one? And who else? Who else? Who else the one? No, but who else the one? Yeah, you. Come on, say I'm the one. Come on, say I'm the one. See, we can't leave one out. One. We can't leave one out. You leave one out, you left one out. Me and my father are. Oh, they go to one again. So who the one we left out? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Who we left out? And when you choose, thanks, Lord. When you choose the one, it can't be taken away from you. Now, you've been trying to choose Jesus, but you haven't been choosing you. You think you're not good enough. You think you gotta stack some other morals together. You, this is the enemy do. This is what the enemy do. He play on you, right? He think the farther you away from the last tragedy that you had in your life, I'm saying tragedy, but the farther away you are from your last moral indiscrepancy, you built up enough time to be holy. You was holy in the midst of the mess. You were the one when you didn't know you was the one. The only reason you made a decision about something else that didn't look like the one is because you didn't know you were the one. Did you not know that? See the problem. See what we're doing is we're teaching morals and we're teaching all these different things, but we're behavior modifying and we're handicapping because we don't realize you got to choose you and know that you are one with the Father and the Father's one with you through Christ. And so, but you're leaving you out. And that's why you got the problems. And here's the kicker. Watch how simple this is. I don't break this down so simple. Y'all done heard the story before, huh? Y'all heard the story before, huh? The story about Mary and Martha, right? But it was not this simple, huh? Never heard this simple, huh? Yeah. How many things you need? Can somebody take it? All you got to do is what? I'm going to ask one more time. How many things you need? Can somebody take it from you? So what you got to do? Choose the one. Everything else is church. This is what you come and serving and all this stuff you're trying to do, all this stuff you're trying to fix. Has it been working? If we tell the truth, I know we be trying to save face for the Lord. He don't need you to save his face. His face is already what it is. Your faking ain't helping him look no better. Let's be honest. All this stuff we've been doing, it hasn't been working. There have been failures everywhere. One thing needful, can't be taken away from you. All I got to do is choose the one. And then he describes, if you go back up, verse 38 talks about a certain woman and Martha receiving to the house. Verse 39, she had a sister named Mary, that same Mary that was the one thing is needful, right? Mm-hmm. Right? And Mary was doing something. What she was doing? She sat at what? Sat at his feet and heard his word. She wasn't serving him. She wasn't going trying to do nothing for him. She wasn't going witness or going to tell somebody about Jesus. What did she do? She sat her tail down at the feet of the identity that she needed and then heard the identity speak. And then more than hearing the identity speak, she realized I need this more than bringing something to this man. So could I say that you're saying more to Jesus than you're allowing him to say to you about you? So we've become accustomed to worshiping the Lord. And he didn't ask you for your worship. He asked you for your oneness. It's a different woo-woo. It's a different word. Woo, the sound that woo sound. Yeah, he didn't ask you for your worship. He asked you for your oneness. She wasn't worried about bringing nothing to him. She was concerned about receiving from him. Set it for you, his word. What does that look like for us? Come on, what does that look like for us? Right there, same thing in the gospel, in the red words. That's sitting at the feet. He and his word. And the word that he's giving you is about you. Yeah. Now, he's not telling you, you know, Jesus didn't lecture the woman. Remember the woman that got caught in adultery? They got caught and they're about to stone her. Remember after he said, he didn't even talk to her much. In the record of it, right? He didn't talk to her much. Start joining the sand. He in firing range, but he, you know what I'm saying? He said he was listening to catch the first stone. Everybody dropped the stone. He said, go. My sins forgiven you and go don't sin no more. He didn't sit down and have a counseling session with her. Now listen, let me tell you what's wrong with you. Because you know, wasn't nothing wrong with her. She just was sinning. What is sinning? Missing the mark. She didn't know who she was. So because you don't know who you are, right now, if I take your mind away from you, I'll take your memory away from you, you cannot make it to your house. You may still know how to drive, but you won't make it to your house because you don't know who you are. Right? So you probably can still know how to drive and have enough gas and a vehicle to get there, but you'll never make it to your house because you don't know who. If I take away your identity, you can have all the money in the world in the bank, but you don't know who you are, so you can't go get it. Anybody got loved ones? Huh? Anybody got anybody in their family they love? Loved ones? Come on. Anybody? Y'all can take away your identity and you won't know them. Just got to take away your identity. Oh, so the one thing we need is the identity, but we haven't had that. So maybe everything has been in plain sight, but because we hadn't seen us, we don't see it. Mark 10. Come on, I'm going to knock this out. Mark 10. Verse 17, it said, there's so much to read. I be wanting to read so much in the Gospels. I get to the point, I got so much time. Verse 17, and when he was gone forth and away, there came one running and kneeled. He ran and kneeled. They come on and find the church. Running and kneeling. When the glory hit, we run around the church, don't we? Come on, amen. Everybody say amen. Come on. We running and then we kneeling. We at the altar kneeling. A good praise and worship song, the one that hit the emotions real good, we drop on our knees, don't we? Come on, we kneeling. We got the kneel pads for prayer, for intercessory prayer, don't we? Running and kneeling. They go to church. Ain't nothing wrong running and kneeling, but if you're leaving the other thing out, then you're running, your kneel is in vain. Kneel, he ran and kneeled to Jesus. It said kneel to him. You see that? Verse 17, y'all see it? And he started flattering him. It's like we do in church on every Sunday with our songs and everything, right? We flatter Jesus and ask him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Had the speech down and everything. It sound good, don't it? Like us church folks. I guess he wasn't expecting this answer neither. In verse 18, Jesus said to him, why are you calling me good? There's none good but one. I like the one. Ooh. Ooh. Can we slow down for a minute? There's none good but one. And that is God. Hold up. I got to finish reading. Y'all understand what it's saying right here? Ain't nobody good but he. Now, he could have said, I always thought he said, this is my first time seeing this, what I'm about to show you. I would always say, ain't none good but God. Right? That ain't what he said. Read it. He said, why callest thou me good? And what does the next line say? There is none good but one. Say it. Say it. Say it again. And then what's the last line? So there ain't nothing good outside of one ship. I don't know if y'all hear me. Are y'all hearing me? Come on, come on. Somebody say amen if you hear me. Come on. There's none good but one. One thing, remember, the one thing is evil. I'm going to show you one later on in here. Now we're going to put them ones together. There's none good but one. And watch this. That is God. Now you thought the one he was talking about was God, but he's talking about there's nothing good outside of one ship. And one ship is God. You being one with the Father is the Father. This is my first time seeing this. Being one with the Father. This is my first time seeing this because I would always say it. I quote it. I said, why you call me good? Ain't nothing good but God. No, he said, ain't nothing. He said, why thou call me good? There's none good but one. Oh, Lord. Then he started talking to him about his church stuff. Verse 19, y'all receive? Start talking about his church stuff. Go ahead, finish. Go read it, read it. Ready, read. I committed adultery, did not kill, did not steal, don't bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother, be on time for prayer, make sure you sign up for ministry school. Did you pray the other prayer this morning? We're going to read Proverbs every day. Did you memorize the Philippians prayer and the Colossians prayer? And remember, now you got to pray without ceasing. The list could go on. Jesus just stopped. You know, there's more commandments than those little five he listed. And he answered and said, Master, all these I have observed from my youth. So in other words, I'd be doing all these. And then say, Jesus, beholding him, loved them. And said unto him, what did he say? How many things? How many things? No. How many things was he lacking? How many? What the other say? How many things are needful? All right, what is he saying right here? How many things did he not have? One thing you ain't got. Finish reading. He said, one thing thou lackest. What did he say? Now watch this. Let me slow it down. Can I slow it down? I need to slow it down for a second. Because we get caught up. Because we're so society driven, so we think success is driven by what society around us says. So now we see that and we say, one thing thou lackest, it's got a semicolon right there, got a colon right there. You see, it says, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. So now we didn't got caught up on that. We thought that was the one thing lacking. And he ain't a giver. That ain't the one thing he was lacking. That was trying to get him off of himself. They called him a rich young ruler. Means his identity was in the riches that he had. Right. So now I need you to give up this identity that you think you have already. and get at somebody else. And he said you're going to have riches in heaven. Now, he's not talking about going to heaven right then. So why did he tell him you're going to have riches in heaven? Because that's what you wanted. You wanted riches. The only reason you really wanted eternal life because you knew they said heaven got streets of gold. Y'all got to get into his mindset. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
So we stopped there. Get to the ball. That's a good thing. Because Jesus wouldn't have told him to do it if it wasn't a good thing. But it wasn't the one thing. And come. You see this part? Take up the cross and follow me. So you got one thing you're lacking. Me. Me is your identity. So go get rid of your rest of your life. Get rid of the rest of your life. Take up the cross and come with me. I go to church. Verse 22. He was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around. He said, and said to disciples, how hard are they that have riches going, how hard are they that have riches going to enter to the kingdom? And later on, he starts talking about, you know, they start tripping. They say, you know, well, Lord, we left everything too. Verse 27, Jesus looking around and said, with men is impossible, not with God, for with God, all things are possible. Remember, now God is one. Remember up there? The one? God is one. Peter said, Lord, we have left all and have followed thee. Jesus said, and verily I say to you, there is no man that left house or brother. Oh, let's find the list. Let's get the list together. They left the house and the brothers and the sisters and the fathers and the, not your mama, not your wife, oh, and your children. And the land, for my sake and the gospels, he shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, a brother and a sister, mother, children, and lands and persecutions, and the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So now he's giving a list of giving up all this stuff that you've identified yourself by. You know, you can't be a good husband if you don't be a good one. You're not going to be a good daddy if you're not the good one. You're not going to be a good whatever you think you've defined yourself by, right? You can't be that before you be one. Which is why we have struggles in trying to be certain things. Because we're trying to be that and bring it to the Lord for him to bless it. That's not how it works. We start from the one, which is the foundation. He said, who do men say that I am? I ain't got time to go there. Thou art the Christ. Flesh and blood is not revealed, but my Father is in heaven. And watch this. And thou art Peter, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church on the identity. But don't nobody know who they are at church. They know Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. Who are you? So that's my question. Who are you? One thing. Show you another one. Real quick. Can I show you another one real quick? Matthew chapter 6. These ones we read. Matthew chapter 6. Go there quick because I only got 3 minutes. Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to show you where. He just showed you how to pray. Lord, teach us how to pray. He said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In earth is in heaven, right? And I got time to go read that. Then he keeps going on, watch this. Then he say, lay not yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, with these breakings, but lay yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth and rust do corrupt and steal. For your treasure, that's where your heart be also. Then he starts talking, keep going. He said, no man can serve two masters. You hate one, love the other, despise one, despise the other. You cannot serve God. Just keep going. So he said, therefore, verse 25, I say, take no thought for your life. How much? We don't read that. We don't like that one. He said, don't take no thought for your life. You can't take no thoughts for your life. What you going to eat, what you going to drink, what you going to get for your body, what you going to put on. Is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Build the fowls of the air, they sow not neither they reap, and gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? In other words, I'm going to feed you too. If you stop trying to feed yourself. What are you about one, what are you about thought can add one cubit to his stature? Why I take you thought for raiment and clothes, consider the litters of field, how they grow, they toil not, neither they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in his glory was arrayed like one of these. Wherefore God shall clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He's talking about the church. Therefore, take no thought saying, what you going to eat? and what you gonna drink, and where we gonna get the clothes at. Verse 32, for the Gentiles, for all these things do the Gentiles see. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Verse 33 is the one you like. Go. Seek you what? First. When? When you write first, and I ain't got no board up here, but if you write first, like you got to write on. Right? Here you got second place, the two and the ND, right? When you write the first, what you got to start off with? Come on, when you write a first, what you got to start off with? A one? Oh, you got to start it with a one. One, how many things needful? How many things you lacking? Seek one. The reason he said first, because we got lists. But you know, if you get the first, you won't need a second. Even when he said, what's the greatest commandment in the law? Love the Lord your God, all your heart, your mind, your soul. You really don't need a second one that's lacking to this, but he do it because people got lists. But if you love the Lord your God, all your heart, your mind, your soul, you will love your neighbor like yourself, because you could be no other way. You'd be like the Father. Seek ye what? What? In the God. His righteousness. His right standing. And how many things gonna be added? All that stuff. How many things you need? How many things you lacking? Case closed. I find a church in a place looking for another move, looking for a wave, looking for another glory. There is no greater glory. There is no new move, a new wave, a new glory, a new cloud. Ain't none. How much more of a cloud you need? We need a better cloud than Jesus? Huh? We need a better move than Jesus? No? How many things you need? That's pretty simple, huh? Did we make it plain? Is it confusing? Not because it ain't confusing. We just make confusion with all our stuff. Amen.